the service recording. There we go. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Your loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have, Lord, that still to gather together to worship and praise you, just to spend time around your word. I pray you, Father, please, that you would be one of our number. And we know we're in difficult times, Lord, that many are not going to church and many churches have closed their doors. And I pray you, please, Lord, that you would uphold these souls, that you would help us, Lord, all at this particular time to keep our eyes upon you and to be mindful of you. We know there are many strange things going on in the world today. I pray you, Lord, that the fear that seems to be instilled in so many would be done away with, Lord. You didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Help us to remember that, Lord. Bless our time in your presence, please. And Lord, we remember that too, those that couldn't be here, there's Pat and Steve and Esther and John and Carol and Stephen, Frank as well, Lord, we miss him as well. And I pray you, Lord, please, for our neighbours, especially for Eddie and Anne and wee Mason this morning, Lord, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Norman and Joan, for Jane and Corey, for Henry and Evelyn, for Sally and Kate, and for Alan, Lord, and Pearl as well. And for all those that tune in online, Lord, please, I pray, let us be a help. Pray for our governments, Lord, that you would put your good hand upon them, that you would constrain them, that you would convict them about saying and doing the right things, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, for the souls that are never going to take a breath of air, Lord, that will be stepping off into eternity. Please, Father, please, I pray, work greatly in the hearts and minds of people in these last of the last days. Please, Lord, empower and strengthen and inspire all those that would stand to bring a word of scriptures, a word of hope, a word of warning, a word of chastening, of comfort and strength. Lord, you know what we need. Please be one of our number, Father. Please take a seat beside each one of us and, Lord, just speak to us where we need to be spoken to and about those things we need to be spoken to about. We love you and thank you. Lord, you know all our needs and our private prayer requests and petitions. I pray that you would grant them, Lord, please, according to your will, and strengthen us for these up and coming days. Amen. Amen. Let's just start with number 2 in the little black book. Hymn number 2 in the little black book is this blessed old book. It's what it's all about. We're going to open our hymn books and sing a hymn about the other books. Amen, the most important one of all. Thank you.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry. Bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword. A shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and have not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. I think that's the first of two or three in the little black book this morning. But we're going to continue on with hymn number...
This morning's reading is from Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudatus and bespeech Cynthia, that they be the name mine in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, through yoke fellowship, help those women which labour with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both not how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians, known also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gifts, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received the Epistles, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen.
Those verses, I like that second last verse. All the saints salute you, especially they that are of Caesar's household. Can you imagine the one man that hated Christianity the most, and even in his own household there were people that loved the Lord? That's cracker. I love Philippians 4, and that was Brother Steve's suggestion. He sends his regards, by the way, and wishes he could be here. We wish he and Pat both could be here. Esther too. But he's still recovering. He's still muddling on with the medicines and treatments for his legs and his feet. So please do keep praying for him. His legs are not as angry red as they were. But goodness, he's been, how long has he been out of commission? A year? Problems with his legs being treated for the wrong thing. And it's only in the last few weeks that he's actually, maybe the last month, that he has started getting treatment for the right thing. So please do pray for him. You may have received a text, was it yesterday or the day before, about Steve's granddaughter Louise. Please do pray for her. She's causing a lot of trouble to herself, not looking after herself properly. And I know it's a bit of a concern to Steve. She had sepsis a while before I did, and she's had some complications from that as well. So she collapsed or something, or had a fit, and had to go into the hospital, but the thought of staying in hospital seemingly was too much for her, and she got discharged. So please do pray for her and for Steve and Pat. As far as everything else goes, I'm glad to see you. It's good to have you here. I know there's only what, 3, 6, 7 of us this morning. That's 7, 6 households represented. Pat and Steve would be here. The CD ministry goes out to another 6 or 7 households as well, 7 or 8 households, or 9. So please do pray for them. I try and make a point of, whenever I pray for Esther, I always remember Eddie and Anne and their grandson Mason, who has a few learning difficulties. But I can't not, whenever I pass most of the houses, normally on a daily basis, not pray for the folks that we drop CDs in on. So please do pray for these souls as well. The faces might not mean anything to you, but they've been listening to you and I sing and preach and pray and read for nearly the past year. You are being a help and you are ministering to them. And not only them, but the people that listen in on the website and on Facebook as well. You are ministering to people that you might never meet on this side of eternity. So please keep singing, please keep reading, please keep praying, and please keep remembering these names. There are many churches that are closed at the moment. I think I already shared with Christine and Will on the way up. This is a liberty that a lot of people in this country have taken for granted, much like our stand against abortion and gay marriage, which with the stroke of a pen were taken away from us as a country. Was that last year or the year before? Last year was a bit of a blur for me, but we really need to waken up and give ourselves a shake and get with the program and be much in prayer for our leaders and for ourselves. The leaders are only there because we let them be there. God ordained them to be there. So we need to stand up ourselves and hold those that we put in power to a much higher standard. I am not surprised that our country and even the South is in the state that it's in, when the best that they could do for a few years was a homosexual leading the country. and the best that we've been able to do as an adulterer leading the country and a fornicator, what do you expect? People that chop and change, we need to pray for ourselves first and for our countries. And not just our country, but all the countries we have. We have got China represented here. We have England represented. We have the South of Ireland represented. We have America represented. We have Northern Ireland represented. And that's just in six households. We have a lot of countries to pray for. And we are most specifically asked to pray for Israel. So please do pray for these countries. There is work ahead of us. And things are not getting better. We are ever so gently declining in our standards and in our morals and in the quality of the leaders that are running the world. And I think sometimes it's declining so gently that we don't even notice until something really badly goes wrong. Please do pray. Pray for each other too. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be at the foot of your bed praying. Even as you're walking, God doesn't mind if you pray with your eyes open, watching where you're. In fact, I think he might insist on it, especially if you happen to be praying and find yourself needing to be on the other side of the road. Don't walk across the road with your eyes closed praying. I remember as a young fella coming back from school, looking behind me and walking forward, and then I turned around and I walked straight into a van. And that's someone at 14 or 15 years old. It was just parked around the corner where I wasn't expecting it. So pray. Be much in prayer. Verses that have been very close to my heart that Norman was reading in Philippians 4 is pray about everything. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And we need that right now. Millions, billions of souls need that. So please do pray. Is Mary out and home? Good. We were praying for Mary, Christy's aunt. So she's at home at last. I think she's probably been home a few days now, hasn't she? So please do pray for her. We're glad that Joanne made it home with, wasn't it Stephen, her dad's name? And Jarvis, the babby. We're glad they got home safe and sound okay. Does anybody just when we're here have any private, yes? Oh yes, of course, Taylor got back as well. I haven't made it that far down yet. As you might have, we're slightly light one church person at the back of the church. Please do pray for Taylor and for Christy. Parted company on Thursday. We're looking forward to getting together again, Lord willing, in May. We're praying hard about that. And we're looking forward to that. Does anybody have any private prayer requests? Keep your hands up there just a second. Oozer, thank you very much. And Mrs. Bradfield, I'll put my name down there as well. Yep. If you have a prayer request you don't want to give details for, you just want us praying for it, just put your hand up and that's what that goes down as. Unless there is anything really else that's... Yes.
Keep praying for
wedding
Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite...
Having difficult times at the moment. You've met William. Not that William. You've definitely met that William this morning. Will's cousin William and his wife Rachel and daughter Lillianne. They're still looking after Aaron too, aren't they?
Aye, it's going to be a long term now.
So,
they
have adopted... a nephew, and he is living with them. They're having a few difficulties with one thing and another, and I would ask that you would pray for them. Pray for aunts and uncles and Will's cousin William, and Rachel and Lillianne and Aaron. Lord knows their needs. We just call them out and treat it like a private prayer request. He knows all the ins and outs. Amen. I am thankful that his thoughts are high above our thoughts, and thankfully his power is much greater than ours as well. Because if we had to dot all the I's and cross all the T's, I think there would be, our prayers would probably be like a sieve instead of like one of those big plastic bowls that keeps everything in it. But the Lord knows. Amen. Still praying for Leonard, and Lord's still looking after him and honoring him for his years of church attendance. Please keep praying for him. The one other thing that I would like your particular thoughts about is the purchasing of the land for the church. I'll just ask if you would bear that in mind as well. Amen. My health is still improving. I tweaked my back over the weekend, but Will and I were supposed to go out for a walk, but I had visions of me not... Was it you and me and possibly Billy that went tracking up on Craigan when I had hurt my back and I could barely lift my foot up to get up some of the big pavements? And I thought, oh no, that's all I need. But I'm doing a lot better than I was this time yesterday. I reckon a day or two I'll be as right as rain, but I appreciate your prayers. I know that I have put the church through its paces as regards praying for the pastor this past year. I really appreciate your prayers. And I hope that you have remembered Christy in that as well. He has a 9-to-5 job. He has a PhD to finish off. He has a wedding up and coming as well. And he pulled the church out greatly this time last year for months and has continued to do so. And I appreciate every single person that comes up here, that reads, that gives me a break from reading. Every single person that comes to the church, that lifts up a prayer, that lifts up their voice, that shakes a hand, that just takes a minute. Because these are the things that are disappearing, that are being taken away from God's children, and we need those. So be much in prayer for yourselves as well. There's a bunch of other things there. That's why we have them written on a little piece of paper for parents, for brothers, for sisters, for children, for legal matters, for matters of the heart, for worries and troubles. They might not all be there, but the Lord knows what they all are. I'm sure they're covered, if not in detail, then in private prayer requests. But please do pray for people. Please do pray. Will, would you mind leading us? And a wee word of prayer, if you would.
Dear Father, I want to say, Lord, thanks for giving us all the restoration, Lord, the strength and the wherewithal to come out of your presence today, Lord. Go up for number, Lord. And bless and keep us, Lord. And bless each and every person of the church and every soul that's there, not only in this church, Lord, but also in Bible believing Christian churches throughout the world, Lord. We're not one land in all our worlds, Lord, all our lands, Lord. And Lord, if our persecuted church, whether it be in Russia or China, or throughout the world, Lord, bless them also, Lord. Minister unto them spiritually and physically, and bless them and keep them also, Lord. Pray for the people in the hospital, pray for Louise, Lord, pray for Shannon, pray for Mary, pray for Gemma, and the Lord, Lord, that we do not know of. Help them, when they've got cancer, they've got sepsis or whatever, Lord, help them and keep them, Lord, and help them and minister unto them also, Lord. Pray for Mary, Lord, minister unto them physically and mentally, and also especially, Lord, when it's in Louise and Manners, and Mark Felt, bless them and keep them and provide for them also, Lord. Lord, be frank, guide and protect them, Lord, and trust them also, Lord. Provide his daily needs, Lord, and bless them and keep them safe and secure and well as he studies in London, Lord. Pray for the McMahon family, give them some, provide opportunities, Lord, for them to get saved, Lord, and tug at their heartstrings, Lord, and direct them on the path to the cross, Lord, where they might be saved, Lord. Pray for Taylor as he's in the States, Lord. Provide for her, keep her, Lord, and bless her, Lord, and help her as he, if she's trying to plan for the wedding, Lord, and Esther also on tour as well, Lord. With Stephen Pat, Lord, with Esther also, Lord, and Stephen Pat, with all their diabetes, Lord, ease their pain and their suffering, Lord, and Lord, with Esther and her skin condition also, Lord, and her legs, and also with these legs as well, legs as well, Lord, help them, Lord, and heal them, Lord, also, Lord, may they finally be cured, Lord. With any others, Lord, with all our, all Lord, by believing Christians throughout the world, Lord, help them, Lord, and involve them, Lord, and to help them reach out and touch those that are unsaved, Lord, and help them speak to them, Lord, of the need for the cross, Lord. Bless us today, Lord, and pray for us to keep us, Lord, be Lord, as you come to preach, Lord, and touch us, Lord, Lord, and touch us also, Lord. Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. All right. Let's take our little hymn books again. I think we're on number 4 now. This is Holy, Holy, Holy. Hymn number 4 will remain seated as we sing.
faithful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting thine their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, there was and is and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, holy I am sinful man, thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in heart, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy work shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. All right then, let's put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out, if you would, this morning, and join me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and I'd like to read a few verses from verse number 15 till verse number 29. Some of these we have spoken on before the last week or so, but I'd like to spend a minute or two speaking on the subject of just being careful who you listen to. The title for the message is the name of that little children's game, Follow the Leader. And we're in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. We're speaking on the subject of follow the leader. And we're taking as our text, verses 15 through to 20. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us, for watching over us, for the promise of your company at every time there's two or three gathered together in your name. Bless our time around your word. I'm just thankful, Lord, we have the voices and the will and the wherewithal to lift up your praises and to present you with our prayer requests. And I pray you, Lord, please, through all of them, that you would work in our hearts and minds and prepare us to go out into the world, Lord, to help other people's hearts and minds point towards you. Bless our time now, Lord, and anybody else in the world, wherever they might be, that is standing up to preach the full counsel of your word. I pray you for a divine protection and inspiration, the words even to say, Lord, but most importantly, for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, Father, and we ask this and our many other private prayer requests and petitions, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to read all of those verses again, but we'll read verse number one. The first verse of our Bible reading in Matthew 7:15, where the Lord, mine's in red, which means these are the quoted words of Christ Jesus, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Just a comment or two on what we have read. This is all to do with this warning from Jesus Christ to be careful who you listen to. Especially false prophets. The Lord, of course, is not talking about which political party to follow. That's not his purview. Bear in mind that the Gospels, these all took place whenever the people of God, the children of Israel, were in an occupied country, a country that had been taken over and occupied by the Romans. We're not talking about politics, we're talking about the very real afterlives, eternities that people have, many of whom are going to be spent in hell and the lake of fire. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. It says they'll come to you looking all nice, but really, they'll come to you spinning a wonderful story about a happy ever after, but really, they're wolves, ravening wolves. That means wolves that are snapping and snarling and tearing, and they will want to destroy you. It says you'll know what they're really like by the things they do. And it goes on to say that people whose minds are fixed on God in this particular case, they're not going to be going out and drinking and carousing and fighting and guiling and stealing and lying and cheating and all of those things. They're going to be behaving properly. They're going to be in church where the lost man would be in the pub. They're going to be reading their Bible, where the lost man will be reading everything but his Bible. They're going to be helping people, where the lost man will be taking advantage of people, and so on and so forth. And the Word of God goes on to say that this is very much a matter of belief, because he says not everyone that saith Lord, Lord is getting into heaven. This is talking about eternity, and this is talking about what you have put your faith in. It is that important that Jesus came to die for it on the cross. That he spoke not just as a religious man, he spoke with the very authority of God. Again, another little bit of a conversation that we were having before the church. It's all very well saying you shouldn't do something, but it's a whole different matter whenever you say God says you shouldn't do something. Because before, if someone decided not to do something, they were only going against you or me or some guy that sits 500 miles away in a big chair. But whenever God says you shouldn't do something and you don't do it, or you do do it or go against him, you're talking about the Creator, the man that slides in through your front door even as you turn the snib, that hops into bed with you even as you tuck yourself in under your continental quilts, that enjoys the same heat of the bed as you do whenever you switch the electric blanket off, that sits down beside you as you eat your breakfast and whispers those sweet nothings of the gospel that really should make us, that should encourage us and strengthen us, but many times they convict us. We're talking about people's souls. And just to give an idea of the value of the soul, God said, look, if you owned the entire world and your soul was not saved, it wouldn't matter one thing to you. Because as we read at the very, very end of this portion of God's word, if you don't have Christ as your foundation, someday it's all going to come tumbling down. And whether that day is the day that you lose a loved one or the day that you step off into eternity yourself, if you don't have Jesus Christ, every single thing that you put your faith in and your hope in and your efforts into all comes tumbling down and it is no good to you anymore. And that is why it is so very, very, very important that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Excuse me. Right. So what's the point? We see here a lot of people in verses 21, 22 and 23 actually talking to God and saying, God, did we not turn up at church? Did we not support missionaries? Did we not put leaflets in the doors? Did we not sing like we angels in church? And God is going to say, and this should be a sobering thought for me. And I'm not talking about us here today. I'm talking about so-called Christian people throughout the world. A lot of them are going to get an eye-opener when God says, I never knew you. And not only that, but he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, their sins are still on them. They never were given to Christ. They never accepted salvation. Their sins were given to them. They're lost. And for all the arguments that they give, Jesus gives the answer in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. It's 1 Corinthians 13, sorry, it talks about the love chapter of the Bible. The first three verses talk about people doing all of these wonderful works and having all these wonderful talents but not being saved. And it not mattering one little bit. God says, watch who you're listening to. Watch whom you follow. I know a lot of people in this day and age, and I've heard them say it at the doors, and that's why I'm saying I know. I'll wait until I'm standing in front of God. And then I'm going to tell him about that remind him that he's the God of love. And I am going to tell him that I went to church and I raised my children right and I was good to my neighbors and faithful to my spouse. I never stole anything and I never told any lies. And God is still going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Church leaders are going to stand and say, we had wonderful churches with thousands of people. We had a cafe for those that needed a little bit of a pick-me-up during the church. We had an audio-visual suite where the children could entertain themselves during church. We had football pitches. We had rooms for those that had nowhere else to go. And God is still going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We're going to have men that stand up and say, but Lord, I ruled Christian countries. I know that narrows the field down a little bit. I ruled the countries that used to send missionaries to the spiritually darkest parts of the world, to India, to China, to Ireland, to Russia, to Japan, to Korea. I think someone had posted on Facebook about those six men that were killed by the Oka Indians. They were massacred their wives stayed on to minister to them. I ran the countries that sent these men out. And God is still going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Thinking that all of the works that you have done is equal to the great work that Jesus Christ did. A lot of people have said as well, I am going to leave my children until they're 20, until they can make up their own mind about whether they want to believe in God or not. And someone quite promptly raised an argument, well, are you going to leave your children until they're in their late teens or 20s if they want to decide to learn to read or to do mathematics? Because if you don't have it hammered into them, and I don't mean beaten into them, but best way of learning anything, by rote, repeating it until it's stuck there. If you don't have it hammered into their heads by the time they're 20, it'll never be hammered into their heads, because those formative years in a child's life are the formative years in a child's life, where you don't just learn facts, you learn to learn. You put the processes, you install the processes whereby someone, even in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, can still learn something new about Jesus and is teachable and is biddable. Is not what we say about little children, they're very biddable. What's the point of waiting until someone has 20 years of bad habits before you start teaching them good habits? There's a reason, you know, that you teach pups. There's a reason that you teach cats as kittens. And I've even seen it at the simplest end of things. You pick a kitten up and you pet it and you pull at its paws and its tail and you hold it down and you tickle its tummy and you pick it up and you pet it and you do all of those things when they're little, when their little teeth, even though they are like needles, don't bite very hard and their little claws, again, don't pierce the skin most times. You do that when they're little. Would you ever try picking a critter up that's a foot and a half long and it's all fur and fury when it doesn't want to be? And it's a whole different matter. There's a reason we need to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's why we have this blessed old book. That's why we sing songs like All That Thrills My Soul. That's why we praise God, reminding ourselves that He's holy, holy, holy. Because this is important. It is the most important thing on the face of this earth. More important than aspirin, than what do you call the antibiotic? Penicillin, more important than brain surgery, more important than the satellites that are up in space. All of these things will save men's lives for another day. Maybe prolong them until they're well into their 90s or their 100s even. But not one of them will save a man's soul for eternity. And that point was made to me, obviously quite succinctly and clearly, about 35 years ago, maybe just 35, 36 years ago when I was in university in the Union Theological College and there wasn't a Christian bone in my body. And I had this great big double room all to myself. I didn't have to share. And I sat sitting in one corner of it with my big thick Bible. It was called Somebody's Guide to Physics. It was about that thick, and they came in and they were giving me a bit of a touch about not going to church or doing anything. And they said, where's your Bible? And I just picked up the physics book. And I said, there's my Bible. And of course, they couldn't say anything against it. Nothing that stuck with me until many years later. And I heard the contents of a lecture. A lecture by, I believe it was a doctor. And he was talking to his students and he said, the greatest book, and one would have mentioned, and some of these old books that were the foundations of medicine, and others would talk about these books that were full of drugs that would prolong lives and ease pain. And others were talking about books of physics, of engineering. It was a long time ago, and I'm sure the books were a lot smaller and simpler than they are today. And the lecturer said, take one of these books and take them to a grieving widow or widower and comfort them with them. Explain to them Pythagoras's theorem and see if that dries a tear or comforts a heart. Tell them how many lives penicillin has saved and see if that will soothe a hurting soul. There's not one of those books can do that, but this book can. And this is the reason that God preserved. Not only did he preserve the word of God, he said he would preserve the word of God. And the last thing that will go up in flames in this world, in the book, in Revelation 20, it says the whole world will be consumed in fire. In 2 Peter chapter 3, a great heat and a fervent noise. The last thing will be the last copy of the King James Bible. There will always be the word of God on the face of this world as long as there are people on it. Because let me tell you something, friends, and I'm sure you know, people need the word of God. Follow the Leader is the title. There are many people that want you to follow him. We have many, I'm trying to think of the right word, entities we'll call it, that would like for us to obey them. So I wrote down a handful. I'm sure you can think of many more. I'm not going to spend very long on each one because technically I've still about a full scalp page to go, and I'm not going to grind on them, and I hope you'll get the idea. The first leader that anyone ever gets in their life is their guardian, their parent. The person that sticks the first bottle in their mouth. Person that changes their nappies. Person that cuddles them, that rubs their ears, that boops them on the nose. The person that plays boo with them just by covering their eyes. The person that's there to stick the plasters on the knees and to hold them in their arms whenever they're having a nightmare. The person that's there to wait for them as they come in through the door because they've been out too long with the stick or the slipper. The person that gives them their pocket money and trusts them with their first big decisions in life. Well, I buy chocolate or jelly babies. If I buy my comics, I won't have enough money for sweets and a pasty on the way home. And I'll tell you how long ago that was for me. A pasty used to be, I think it was 15p. And my comics were, I think maybe 20p. And I had 50p. That left me a few pence. Goodness, it was worth a fortune. And I'm only 55. Goodness gracious me. They chase away the bogeyman, don't they? Their teacher and preacher. They are comforter, and sometimes they are the prison master as well. They're supposed to teach us enough, at least, to get us to the point where we can wipe our own noses and dress ourselves and feed ourselves and go out into the world and have some chance of surviving. And let's be honest. Every parent must be doing at least something right to get to the point to be a parent. They might not be doing everything right. They might be doing hardly anything right. But they are the first voice of authority that we hear. And it is incumbent upon every parent to raise their kids right. That is the first chance, sometimes the only chance that many have to come to know Jesus Christ, to come to hear what's good and proper. The next one is friends. How many times whenever you left the tender embrace of your mom and dad or whomever was looking after you and you go out to your friends and your friends called you a goody two-shoes because you still did what your mommy and daddy said, and you soon learned the thrill of rebellion and all of the things that your friends would tell you. We all remember that. Well, I do anyway. A lot of these things that undermined your mommy and daddy's teaching, and generally speaking, didn't end well. I remember on one occasion being brought by the scruff of the neck round to my parents because I was out with a friend who had this great bright idea of going around and opening the egg boxes that the milkman had left and smashing the eggs and getting caught. And my mum having to replace eggs. The things you do. Sadly, we don't remember or even think or realize that all of the things that our mummy and daddies are telling us are actually there to help us. And a lot of the things that our friends tell us are just about having thrills and fun, most of which come at the expense of disobeying or breaking mummy's and daddy's rules. Do we listen to our friends? I suppose the rest of these are in no particular order, but those are the first two we normally hear, our friends and our parents. What about a spouse? The Word of God tells us in Amos that how can two walk together except they be agreed? Jesus even said the same whenever he was preaching to his disciples. Really, when you get someone to spend the rest of your life with, and at the risk of having to dot every I and cross every T, it's a member of the opposite sex that you in front of God and man have chosen to honor and obey from now until death do you part. It's not two men, it's not two women, it's not a man and a dog or a woman and a cat. Your spouse is a member of the opposite sex. You should be going the same way. And you should be thinking along the same lines. And that way, whenever your spouse says something, it's going to be reasonable. It's not going to be a way out there. I heard somebody say you should pick someone as your spouse that is going to make you the best version of yourself. That is going to constrain you and encourage and comfort. And I think encourage is pretty good. Aye. Sometimes we get a bad one that'll twist us in knots and throw us away like a piece of chewing gum with all the flavor chewed out of it. But spouses are one of the people that many people follow. And then there's jokers like me, pastors and religious leaders. Men, not women, men whose lives are given over to God, who are supposed to be always ready to give a reason for the hope that dwells in us, who's instead of out working a 9-to-5 are able to take the time to study. And I mean study and pray and teach and preach the word of God and lead from the front. Not like some of these guys. Right, you guys go out and do that job there, they'll say to their soldiers, and they go out and fight and die. And the leaders sit in their armchairs in front of their fire drinking their tea and coffee like so many in Sinn Féin, IRA, UVF, UDA, INLA, what do you call those? The PLO, all of those paramilitary organizations all over the world. Pastors are supposed to be men of God who lead from the front, who are a good example. Are we supposed to listen to our pastor? It's another voice that's clamoring for our attention. And I would say, don't listen to Mark the man. Listen to Mark the man as he preaches the word of God. I am not perfect. I do have faults. Believe it or not, I know it's hard to believe, but I do have faults. And I do my best to live for God. I honestly do. And I want the best for everybody that I'm accountable for. But we know rightly that there's many guys out there that you wouldn't trust to look after your cat. And cats can pretty much look after themselves. Many who are robbing the church is blind, who have committed some awful physical sins with members of the congregation and let God down a bucketful and made the teaching, all the years of ministry and teaching in those churches of none effect. They also are crying out for your attention. What about the TV? I suppose it used to be only the TV, but now it's social media. And it's pretty much the never sleeping one-eyed monster that sits either in the corner of your room or in the hip pocket of your pants, your trousers. And at one time, I remember a man was quoted as saying, "This will be the greatest invention that man has ever seen. It will be able to uplift men and women, boys and girls, from one corner of the earth to the other. We will be able to promote teaching and good things." I bet you, if you could put a dynamo on him right now, he could power the world with the speed that he's spinning in his grave. That thing espouses pretty much adultery, immorality, murders, thefts, lies, blasphemy, paganism, and rebellion in just about every single episode of everything that's out there. I heard a guy say one time, "Oh, we're talking about TV and whether you should watch it or not. He says, I just pick and choose what I want to watch. I only listen to this, that, or the other." And then there's another picture and it shows you a guy with a rubbish tip in his living room. And the wee smell and the flies flying around and him going through it and picking out the good things out of the rubbish tip that he wants to use. It does filter you. It does hurt people. And it does encourage the younger generations not to listen to any authorities whatsoever. And sometimes, let's be honest, we just sit in front of it with our mouths shut, our minds wide open, and give it free rein in our hearts and minds. What about our governments? I know we don't really want to talk too much about the American government or the British government right now. And not even the Northern Irish government or indeed the Scottish government. We are more than a little bit disappointed with our leaders. It reminded me of the little, I hope you've maybe heard this little poem before. There was a little girl, does anybody know the next bit? Who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. And that is where we are. A good government that is, I would almost say, a benevolent dictatorship that is not moved by wickedness and paganism. There's none in this world at all. Even democracy depends upon most of the people being good, being God-fearing, caring for their neighbors and wanting the best for their country and their families. But most of the people aren't like that anymore. Do we listen to our governments? Most countries have governments that have laws that are designed to keep people living together as smoothly as possible. At least that's the idea. But unfortunately, many of these laws and the promotion of them go against everything that is good and proper. We were talking about abortion and gay marriage and curbing the rights of people to preach the gospel in various places. Do we listen to the government? Or shops? I'm not just talking, sadly. It shows you how much the things have changed since the last time I spoke about this and give it any serious thought. But we have the likes of Amazon and eBay and Facebook and Wish and GearBest. These places from right the way across the world, and if you even say something about something that you are interested in and you have a live mic, and I kid you not, on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer, you will be bombarded with advertisements for products as they try to persuade you to buy either right now or plant the ideas in your head for the future. And I'll give you an example. This one happened to me this past week. Normally, I have one of those with me, a backpack. It's like my man bag. I do have something with a funny colours in it, but most of them are black. And I like to keep a couple of bars or something in there just for a snack if I'm stuck somewhere or if my good wife and I are, I was going to say, are out for a cup of coffee, but if I'm out chauffeuring her around while she enjoys a cup of coffee, I like to have something. And so I was looking for a bar that is gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, what? Seed-free. And I think you're probably thinking about just, you, pardon? Oh yeah, I was going to say, you'd be looking for a wrapper with fresh in the middle. Chris, I said, what? What have you got in your hand? Nothing. Yes, exactly. It's nothing. It's so hard to find. But I managed to find a company, I think it's OTE. And I looked at it and they were almost there. And then, no, they weren't. But do you see every time I put on Facebook or look on YouTube, every ad is from this company trying to sell me this rubbish. All the time. And they're popping up everywhere on eBay and this, that and the other. It's for real. Are we going to listen to them? Are we going to listen to the shops? Or what about the devil himself? There is a devil and he hates your guts. And you know the people he hates the most? He hates lost people the most. You might think, but they follow him. He hates them. I would say he respects the Christian that takes a stand, that puts their hands on their hips and just says, I'm not going to do it. I would say he would respect a bit of a challenge. But for those people that roll over and just do whatever he says, he probably abuses them the worst. Like something you would kick off your shoe. This is the guy, a man. They said, is this the man that caused the nations to tremble? This is the creature that wanted to be God, that still wants to be God. Do you ever think about one of the things that God said, that Jesus said? He said, I even know the number of hairs that's on your head. That's what Jesus said. God loves you that much. He even remembers the number of hairs on your head. And if he knows the number of hairs in your head, he knows your thoughts and desires, your wants. He knows your aspirations, your ambitions, your loves and your hates. He knows everything about you. And somebody's saying there, but so does Facebook and so does Twitter and so does Tesco and so does eBay and so does Amazon. They know everything about you too, all of these things. And this started years ago, profiling you. Who do you think is going to be using all that information to try and twist you and turn you and influence you? And strangely enough, most of the things that he tries to get you to do fly in the face of what the Word of God says. That and feelings. In the words of the song, feelings. And I can't remember anything else about it. Dee-dee-dee-dee, feelings. God says, you mind those feelings. You keep them on a tight leash. They're like a bunch of wild horses, and if you clap your hands, they'll shoot off in every single direction and you'll not get one useful bit of work out of them. But I tell you this, if you harness them and all point them in the one direction and keep cracking the whip, you can go miles and move mountains. God, the devil wants your attention. Your feelings want your attention and want you to follow them. And every single one of those that we looked at, except probably for the first two or three, your parents, your spouse, your pastor, in an ideal world, they all want what you have. They want your time, they want your money, they want your back. They want work out of you. The Word of God, God himself, informs us about God. And what he's done for us and what he continues to do for us. Right from the creation, right the way through to the last amen in Revelation 22. It's all about God and our place in his eternity. He informs us about our problems, our very natures, and how we can overcome them and rise above them. He tells us our future if we're interested. And he has been telling us that for the past 2,000 years. The things that's happening in the world today, they were written in Matthew 24 I think about AD 60, give or take. That's 1900 and nearly 2000 years ago. They were written in a book that has been hated by man for ever since, goodness, Moses started writing stuff down. People have hated having to do what God says or having the finger pointed at them by the word of God. He tells us these things because he loves us. And he wants us to be ready, not just for the troubles that come our way, but for the day that our lives are over and we have to step off into eternity. He tells us these things because he wants us to be ready. The rest of these voices, that most of which we have mentioned here, the things that they tell us to separate us from our money and our efforts and our health and our sanity in some cases. But God tells us these things so that we can be ready. He says, do you know what? Let's just sit down and think this thing through. In Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. He said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come let us reason together. Let's talk this through. Let's think about it. Not experience it, think about it. And he tells us these things because we need them. Where is the profit to God in us getting saved? Goodness, there is no profit to God. God is on a lost leader. God had to give his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary. And that's even for the slackest, most backwards Christian that you will ever come across, someone that is just saved and no more. God died for him or her. Where's the profit for God in that? He has given and given and given. And he gives wisdom if we want it. And he gives power, overcoming power, if we'll turn up for it. He gives, as Norman was reading in Philippians chapter 4, the peace that passeth all understanding. When we give him all our problems, goodness, he loses every single way. And we cannot but gain if we would just listen to him. God is the only one that sacrifices and sacrifices and sacrifices and reasons and prepares and has preserved his word so that the same people that read it 2,000 years ago can get the same message as we got today. But with today, we have the benefit of technology. Oh, we think we're wonderful with our technology, but for all of our advances and quotes, all that we have done is fulfill Christian prophecy. God loves us. He tells us how to treat others. Parents, children, friends. He gives us a priority in life. Put God first. Everything else will find its proper place. He gives us an unshakable foundation to base our lives upon. Like we read in Matthew 7. And an assurance that when this life is over, it's heaven for sure for those that have put their faith in God. And he gave us one more thing. He gave us a free will. And we can accept it or reject it. We can. Let's be honest. Many of us today are going to commit a sin before we're back even in church. Many of us are going to say, see that pastor. He thinks he knows that. He's such a smart ass. Many people in the world are going to think that of a guy that has stood up in the pulpit and preached the word of God. And they're going to sin against him. They're saying, I'm going to be praying for him, okay. Oh God, would you please send a great chasm to open up just like you did for those guys that hated Moses back in the day. And God says you're guilty of murder whenever you think that because you hated someone without a cause. Have a look at that in Matthew. I think it's Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 5. We get to choose. With all of these voices, do you know what they all reminded me of? Remember Elijah in the cave? And God said, Elijah, he says, here I am, Lord. And he stepped out to the front of the cave and a big whirlwind rushed by and it was tearing the place up. That's impressive. And the wind and the earthquake, was there a fire as well? I can't recall. That might have been coming down killing people at another time. But then there was the still small voice, and it was God that spoke in the still small voice. Are we going to listen to things that have flashing lights and bright noises and plenty of people following them? And surely, if plenty of people are following them, they must be right. God has something to say about that too. He said, look, there's plenty of people on the road to hell, on the broad road that leads to destruction. There's only a few in the straight and narrow road. Would you choose? Not what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will it be the gods of the land in which you dwell, or the gods of the people on the far side of the flood? Joshua said, as for me and my house, what did he say? I will serve the Lord. But surely there are many roads to heaven. No, there's not. There are many roads to Jesus. There are many things that bring people to the foot of the cross, to the still small voice, to the comfort, to the promise that God has for anyone. There's only one road to heaven. Matthew 14, John 14, I, Jesus said, am the way, the truth, and the life. What about all of these other roads? You know what Jesus said? He said, if people are determined in their hearts and minds to listen to a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, you can still be saved. You'll not get very far, but you'll still be saved. You can listen to a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel preacher who will take every single pound out of your pocket and as he cries about his difficult life, only having one car in each of his four garages and only one jet down at the airport and four houses across the country. And you can help him with that, paying his rates in one of these other countries or whatever. Or you can be a Buddhist and listen to the teachings of Buddha. You can worship your ancestors, or you can listen to your animal spirits. You can even turn up in a church. If the guy's not preaching the gospel, you know what Jesus said? He says, let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. They're all going to end up in the ditch. And for the ditch, I would put the pit. And for the pit, I mean hell and the lake of fire. We get to choose. We get to choose. Before you do, just bear in mind, people, families, and countries that have rejected the gospel. We know people that have rejected the gospel, not in good shape. Families that have rejected the gospel, not in good shape. Countries that have rejected the gospel, they are certainly not in good shape. So what do you want to do? Go with the flow with all the other dead fish, or be like the salmon, the king of fish, that swims so hard against the current that he can even go up waterfalls? It always ends badly for souls that don't trust God as Savior and obey him in life. He's the only one that can save your soul, and he's the only one that will save your life. And I urge you every day to choose to follow him. Please. Please. As we used to say to the children, if you're ever walking down the street smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer and you feel a sudden sharp pain in your backside or the side of your head, you can be sure that I have just come up behind you and clipped you or kicked you for doing something that stupid. It'll not be me that does that on you. Because most of you are bigger than me. And I can't run very fast at this particular time. But God, he loves his children. He loves his creation. And he wants the best for his children. So listen to him. Amen. All right. I think I have one picked here. Hymn number 41. If you'd like to stand as we sing in the sweet by and by, and then we'll be dismissed. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. Thank you all for your good time and attention. Pray you have a good week till next we meet. Good week, like this evening. It gives you a whole 6 or 7 hours to do that. And if you can do it, tell me the secret. But amen. God bless you. Well, would you pray and dismiss the meeting for us, please, if you would.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to church today, Lord. And thank you for giving us your message, Lord, your mark, Lord, and his preaching, Lord. Lead us in the heart, Lord, and Lord, provide for us and bless us, each and every one that's here today, Lord. Lord, send us back to our homes in safety, Lord. And bring us on to the point tonight, Lord, and the next point of time, Lord. Grow us this day, Lord, and provide for us and keep us, Lord. And may we be affirming that this acceptable on my side, Lord. And get us through to the next week, Lord. Provide for us and keep us for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, tip toes, tap elbows, shake hands. We're dismissed. God bless you.
This one is actually changed my clothes.